You're listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, episode 22. Hi, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership, the podcast that empowers you to reach your full potential, whether you're a woman in business or a woman in a corporate role. Joining me on today's show is Kara Ronan. Now, Kara is a soft skills expert and the founder of Executive Impressions. She's passionate about helping people master social skills for business success and is dedicated to creating female leaders. She's the creator of the educational video course Business Etiquette 101 and has more exciting courses and leadership workshops coming up in the pipeline. Her advice has been featured in publications such as Time Inc., The Daily News, Leaders in Heels, The Local France, and more. And now, of course, the Women in Leadership podcast. And she's ranked as one of the top 100 leadership experts to follow on Twitter. And she's regularly interviewed on prominent podcasts. Today, Kara is going to share how making connections and growing your network can lead to amazing opportunities, why it's really important to get feedback from others, and that it's critical to understand what you're doing wrong so that you can improve on that. Sometimes we don't kind of like to hear that, do we? And why it's important to never stop learning. And this is the only thing that will keep you moving toward success. So welcome to the show, Kara.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Thanks so much for having me today.
It is such a pleasure. And, we're going to talk about connections and growing your network. And we can share a success story because this is the second time that I've had you on one of my podcasts. And we networked and we built our relationship via social media platforms, didn't we? LinkedIn. Absolutely. And of course, now, this is the second time we get to showcase your brilliance and wisdom with the listeners. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here again.
Let's just dive in. You've had a really incredible travels and your business because you're now in Perth, relocated back to Western Australia in Perth, yet you've been overseas for some time too. The reason I say that is because you've really got to experience etiquette and relationship building with other cultures as well. So that's really valuable, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. I'm back in Perth now. I arrived about a month ago and I'm very excited to be back in my home country, my culture, my language. It's wonderful. but I did spend 10 years overseas. And I've been back to Australia at various times, but I've spent 5 years in Japan and I just spent 5 years in France.
Tell me, with the different business etiquette, do you notice a difference between the different cultures?
Oh, absolutely. It's very interesting me coming back here because Australia is a very casual culture when it comes to business. You approach people with using their first names. You don't have to address people using Mr. or Ms. and then their surname. Mm-hmm. The level of formality is really dropped in Australia. But it's great to do business with because you are there's no level of formality that you have to meet. Everybody is casual, everybody is open and welcoming, and that is really nice compared to Europe where people can be very formal and you need to organize the meeting, you need to address people appropriately. So it's a nice environment to be in back here.
Yeah, and it's a great reminder for us to be mindful of the different etiquette, the things that are expected and unknown methods and things like that. It was interesting yesterday, Kara, I went to an expo and I had a woman who deals a lot. She was from China and she deals a lot with, the Chinese market, importing and exporting parts for pianos, and then she puts them together and sends them over there. When she handed me her business card, I noticed that she was holding it with two hands and she bowed kind of to me when she handed it to me. So I faced her and I took it with two hands and I kind of bowed too, because I thought, I think this might be the way that she does that. So, you mirror and match, to kind of build rapport. So It's
absolutely mirror using the mirroring technique is fantastic if you're in a cross-cultural situation and you're not quite sure what to do.
Yes.
The other person obviously knows what to do. It's their culture. So you just match it.
Yeah.
And just copy what they do. Yeah.
A great example of what happened yesterday. I thought would be great to share. So let's talk about making connections and growing your network. It really does lead to some incredible opportunities. What with technology though, I think sometimes as businesses and maybe even as if you're in the corporate arena, because we're so busy and because of technology, sometimes we're not really valuing and taking opportunities to get out there and really grow our network.
That's so true. But with our online presence nowadays, with LinkedIn, with social media, it is so easy.
Yes.
And I have to say the majority of connections I make, they start online. They start on LinkedIn, most of them.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you and I, we've never met.
Oh, that's right.
And we've interacted so many times with your podcasts and LinkedIn and our websites and that. It is so important to really build your network and to be proactive with building it as well. You can't just create your LinkedIn account and sit back and think, oh, people are going to, you know, invite me to connect with them. No, you need to go out and connect with other people.
I think that's the difference. That's incredible difference. I love the online space as well. What's really different about how we continue to connect and build a relationship and how I see other people doing it as well is that they are taking action to reach out, to have further conversations, whether they initially start with email and then following up through phone conversations, Skype, that kind of thing. Because what you've said, networking is not just reaching out and adding names to a database. That's not building a network. It's certainly growing connections, but you want to really take that relationship further, don't you?
Absolutely. And what I have been doing, I've been using a little strategy since I knew that I was coming back to Australia. I would connect with people on LinkedIn first. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm here, I'm actually trying to move that connection to a coffee.
Yes.
With those people, to just a casual coffee so I can meet them in person. And I've been doing that for the past month. It's been working and I have met some fantastic people that is really helping my business.
For people who are relatively, I don't know what to use this, the word shy, but they feel uncomfortable in reaching out and making that first connection, like say on LinkedIn, what would you say has been some strategies that you've used that has allowed you to reach out to people that you think, look, this person could be a great referral partner or someone I really want to get to know, you know, more about? What strategies have you used as far as the email that you've sent or the words that you've used to start that connection building?
Right. Yes, you're right. It can be a little daunting. And at first, when I was starting this, I didn't know what to write. I thought, well, this person doesn't know me. You know, what can I write to make this person want to connect with me? So now what I do is I look at each person's profile. Mm-hmm. This takes time, of course. So it's a little time consuming. I usually do it at nighttime when I'm just watching TV or doing something a bit low key. But you look at their profile and you find something interesting, a hook that you can use to start a conversation with that person. For example, if I've noticed somebody has spent some time overseas, I ask them, oh, how did you enjoy living in the UK, for example? Or if it's an international person and they've arrived in Australia, I ask, you know, when did you arrive in Australia? How do you enjoy that? You can start conversations on any number of things. It can be about their hobbies, about their work, about, you know, where they've lived or worked as well in the world. So just pick something from their profile and go with that and start a conversation with that.
Yeah, fantastic. I think those are really wise words. And once you've established that connection and they've connected with you, I know a lot of times when this has happened to me, the relationship can just stop there. It just stops at a connection. What are some of the things that you've done to then take it further?
Yes, that's right. It can easily stop at just the one message. Thanks for connecting. It's great to connect with you, and that's it.
Yeah.
What I would do is the next week or even 2-3 weeks afterwards, just go through all the connections that you have made in the past month on LinkedIn. Send that person another personalized message asking them, you know, how their week has been or something like that. So you can do that with personalized messages. Or another way is to be, is to regularly publish content on your LinkedIn profile. So share articles, share podcast interviews that you've listened to that you've found interesting. Share things with other people. You can even ask questions. And this has worked really well for me. You just put out a question, a general question. For example, I did one the other day and the question was, what is your biggest soft skills mistake you see in business? And you get responses from people. And that's how you move that connection from the, you move the relationship from the first connection and just keep it going so it doesn't, you know, stop there.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think why I ask that, many people, they make the initial connection and then they kind of allow the other person to get to, you know, to contact them. But sometimes, oftentimes, that never happens. So it's good to be able to do those things that you've mentioned. And I think also giving really great information, like you were saying, a podcast or an article that you've read, sharing that, that's going to be of incredible value. And I think too, if you are someone who is in business and you specialize in a certain area, you, of course, the soft skills and business etiquette, the content that you would continue to share is going to be very relevant within that area. So you wouldn't share something that's completely off topic, off brand, and in the message that you share. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You need to keep it business focused.
Yes.
I know a lot of people on LinkedIn, they think LinkedIn is like Facebook and it is not. It's completely different to Facebook. So you need to keep the content that you share with other people business focused, professional. So don't share any photos, you know, that you
this is what I did on the weekend kind of thing.
Exactly. You don't share that kind of stuff because it's your potential clients or your current clients or your boss who's going to be seeing that. So no, you need to keep it very professional and relevant to business life.
So great strategies there. So for those of you who haven't been proactively and intentionally doing those things, those are some great steps to start following, because making connections and growing your network are incredibly, it's incredibly important and does lead to amazing opportunities. So let's talk about feedback from others. You know, sometimes when we hear feedback, we don't necessarily like to take that on board. However, it can be incredibly valuable, particularly if it's areas that we can learn, that we can grow and continue just to improve on the things that we're doing. So speak a little bit more about that.
Yes. So feedback is critical because you really need to know what you're doing right so you can continue doing those things. And you also need to know what areas that you can improve on so you can learn and you can build your skill set so you can become a better professional and a better leader in the end. But you're right. Many people like the first part. We like to know what we're doing right. We like praise. Of course, it's natural. But the second part where you get to learn and know about what you can improve on or maybe what you're doing wrong, we don't really like to hear that. We always see it as a as though we're back to being a child and we need to learn. We're being told we're doing something wrong and we need to improve. So it's not a nice position to put yourself in, but it is necessary. And you need to remember that everybody, anybody you can think of who is successful, they have made mistakes. They have had to improve. They have had to learn and grow from those mistakes. So there is nothing at all wrong with making mistakes or having areas that you need to improve on. Everybody needs to do that. And it's those people who can recognize that need and are willing to take the step to build, to grow, to learn and improve. It's those people who ultimately become successful.
You know, one thing that I see a lot for speakers and other people who present, they have often a feedback form. And sometimes it's the way that you frame your question. For instance, maybe, and this is maybe what you suggest too, is rather than what did you think that I did wrong, it's maybe what are, you know, a couple of things that I can do that makes this even better. So in that instance, it really is helping rather than coming across it as negative. And it also allows you to take on that information from a, hey, this can make it even better, rather than feeling like, you know, that young child who is being scolded.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's better to frame the question that way. What can I improve on? What can I do better? Yeah.
The next time. Absolutely. Have you ever had an experience where you have done that? I'm happy to share, just recently, how I asked for that. Do you have any experience maybe from clients who've done that it's really made an incredible difference in their growth?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, whenever I work with a client online, because most of my work is done online, so a lot of the coaching is via Skype. Whenever that session is finished, I send them, like you said, a feedback form asking them how it was, what they learned from the sessions we had together, and how anything that we could improve on for next time. Mm-hmm. And it is so valuable to really help me define my services, improve my services, and grow my client base as well, to get that kind of feedback. So it's very, very helpful.
Yeah. Just recently, I'll share mine. I ran a workshop around helping people get over the fear of public speaking, because when we can't speak in front of a crowd, we can't communicate our brands on the level that we want. And it was interesting. I asked, what did you really appreciate? So the learnings and the ahas, because often, we want to make sure that we really understand what worked really well so that we can continue to do that. And I did ask, what is something that you think that we can do better? And it's really interesting because one of the ladies, she said, because she doesn't like to give criticism. She doesn't like getting it and she doesn't like to give it. And I could tell she didn't want to hurt my feelings. She said, I won't write this down. I'll just say it to you. Oh. And I think she said, I really appreciated, being able to, for the smaller groups. She said, I would have loved to maybe get up in front of the group and say my little spiel so that we can compare it afterwards. It was interesting because I assumed, and this is such a great lesson, don't assume, that if I got people who were attending a public week speaking fear course, to get them right at the beginning to share something might have had some people just turning about face and marching straight out the door.
Oh, yes.
So that piece of feedback I'll have to take on board and think about. But you're right, we can continue to grow, we can continue to develop, but certainly pre-frame it so that you're able to take it on board. Absolutely. Let's talk about never stopping learning. I absolutely agree, but I am a lifelong student, I think, when I'm not learning something new, my brain just kind of goes into hibernation. So let's share more about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think as an entrepreneur, as a business person, you need to learn. It's part of the job. Mm-hmm. There are new areas. For me, there could be new areas that I am researching because I want to create programs about, or it could be something to do with running my business, the technical side of it, or the support side of my business as well. So there's always things that you need to learn when you're a business owner.
Yes.
I think when you become an employee, that is when you can get a little bit lazy with your learning, because you're in your job, you get paid and you do a great job, but sometimes you get a little bit comfortable and you only stick to your job description. So when you're an employee, it's very important that you make the effort, you take the proactive steps to learn about new areas that can help you with your job and help you move up in your career as well. It could be buying books. It could be training yourself or getting training somehow via video courses or in-person training as well. There are a variety of ways you can go about and do this, but you need to put on the mindset. That's really where it starts. You need to have the mindset that you learn, that you need to continually learn, and that learning is okay. It's okay if you don't know how to do something. You're not expected to know how to do everything. And yeah. I think a lot of people have difficulty admitting that.
Yeah, I think in some of the older generations, and I am generalizing, I know, but for many of them, the thinking was, well, I went to school, I studied that trade, or I went to uni, that's it, and now I've been in the same kind of role or industry for X amount of years. That has now changed. I mean, now the statistics and studies are showing that many of the jobs now, in fact, 40% and growing, are just not going to be there. So for us, even as business owners, are the industries that we're currently working in, what's currently happening to disrupt that? I mean, when you look at the taxi industry, when you look at the tourism industry with Airbnb and so forth. So I think everyone has to adopt an attitude of learning, growing, developing to ensure we stay relevant and in front of the, you know, the changes that are happening on a global scale, because the world, the globe is, you know, the size that we deal with anyone and everybody, don't we, now in the world. It's not if you're over there, we don't really have to worry about that. It's going to impact us on a global scale. Yes.
Absolutely. That's so true. And it's really how you differentiate yourself as a business person or as an employee. You need a skill set that your other employees, competitors, or business owners don't have. And it's how you really lift yourself above the competition.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you continue to, you know, not only develop yourself and your understanding, your learnings and your skills, that just continues to contribute to your team, to your clients, you know, whatever kind of industry or situation that you're in. I think it's just, you cannot say anymore, I don't need to learn any new things.
That's right. Yeah, you should never say that phrase.
No, that's right. I remember when I worked specifically in the career industry many years ago, people who came to me and said, "Well, I've only been in the same job." I've only ever met actually one person who's not only been in the same job for 20 years, never done any studies, never done any certifications, nothing. And it was unfortunate because the company that he worked with never wanted him to learn. And now it was like, well, oh, my goodness, you really are on the back foot because it's stagnant, you know. So never stop
learning. Especially in this economic environment, you know, since 2008, it's been very difficult in many countries, in many companies for people. And you don't know when your time is up. So you really want to have as many skills as you possibly can so that you can easily move to another job or start your own business.
Yeah.
If it's something that you want to go from corporate to becoming self-employed, if that's something you want to do. So,
and I think even, you know, as a business, sometimes we don't want to stretch ourselves too thin. We may not necessarily have to learn everything about it, but enough to know and to recognize who can come and support us. Is there someone that I need to add to my team that has got that particular skill set and awareness so that I can continue to, you know, our business and our service offerings can continue to be relevant to the expectations of our ideal clients? Yes?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You always need to think about, okay, as a business owner, where is my time better spent? And who can help me with these tasks that need to be done, but they're a little bit tedious, or I don't necessarily need to be doing them. So you need to, as a business owner, identify the areas where you really need to be that is going to help you make money, grow your business, and then delegate those other tasks to contractors or employees or other people who can help you achieve your business goals.
Yeah, fantastic. Wise words of wisdom there. What would be one last word of encouragement that you'd like to leave with people today?
One area that I have noticed with both women and men, actually, I don't want to say just women because I know this is a Women in Leadership podcast, but a lot of people don't take the proactive step to make their leadership opportunities happen for them. A lot of people, you sit back and wait around hoping, you know, learning, growing your skill set, improving as a professional, but hoping that those leadership opportunities will find you, that somebody will notice you're good at this job and, okay, I'm going to promote you, or that clients are going to notice you're a good business person, so they're going to hire you. Whereas in reality, what you need to do is be more proactive, and you need to make those leadership opportunities happen for you. You need to go out there and find them and go after them. So that is one last tip that I would like to leave for everybody listening to this podcast episode. Don't sit around waiting for a leadership opportunity to happen to you. Go out and find it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very important. So thank you so much for coming on the show again today, Cara. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. For people who'd love to reach out and connect with you, how can they do that?
Absolutely. Well, my website is the first point where you should visit. The URL is www.executive-leadership.com. executive-impressions.com. So there is a hyphen in between executive and impressions. And I work with people. I run leadership workshops quite often. I have a business etiquette video course which was recently released, and it's available on the Udemy platform. So it's a fantastic course. It's 4 hours, very high quality video content. So you're going to learn a lot from that video course, and also the leadership workshops as well, which I run from time to time.
Fabulous. And we'll, of course, we'll put all of the details over on the show notes. So to join the conversation, go to annemariecross.com/podcast22. That's annemariecross.com/podcast22. And while you're there, we want to know, it's always good to get feedback from you. Want to know what is the biggest aha that you had from today's show? And more importantly, what are you going to do to get into action within the next 24 hours? Are you going to finally say yes and take action to enrolling in a new course or something that's going to help you continue to learn and develop a skill and a strength that you know is going to be valuable for your business, for your career? Or maybe you need to do something more proactively as far as leadership. If you're in corporate, maybe that is putting your hand up for a promotion or for that leadership role on that project. Or if you're in business, maybe it is reaching out to that ideal client who's been circling around you for some time now. Invite them to step up, say yes to working with you. What is that going to be? Leave your comments below the show notes. So before we end the show, an inspirational tip from our sponsor, Communicate Your Brand, Get Noticed, Hired, and Paid What You're Worth. And this is a quote from John McCall, and he said, "Develop a standard for excellent. Without distinction, there is extinction." Now, you're a service-based woman in business who's passionate about your business and even more so about helping your clients, but you're struggling to pinpoint the key elements that's going to make you and your brand distinct. In fact, your message and how you're communicating your message just isn't attracting clients who value your services, and you're certainly not getting paid what you're worth. If this is an area you're struggling with, then let's talk. Register for one of my complimentary business breakthrough sessions so we can pinpoint where the gaps are and the steps that you need to communicate your brand in a powerful, memorable way so you can attract clients who pay you what you're worth. To register, go to the link, annemariecross.com/breakthrough session. annemariecross.com/breakthrough session. That brings us to the end of another show. I hope you will join me again next week. Remember to subscribe to our iTunes channel. The link is annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. When you do, you will be the very first person to learn about our new episodes and be inspired, just like I know you were today listening to Cara. That link again, annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. And while you're over there, if you've got a couple of seconds, leave a comment and a rating as well. That helps us to get our message out into the ears of as many other ambitious women in leadership. See you again next week. Have a fantastic week. Make it a great one. Bye. Bye, Cara.
Bye.